Welcome back to the CBSSports.com College Football Podcast. I am Chip Patterson, and get your notes out, get ready to make your wagers. It is time for another Weekend Picks panel. So I'd like to welcome back to the podcast, as I always do, our resident CBSSports.com experts on the podcast, Mr. Jerry Hennon and Mr. Tom Fornelli. Gentlemen, welcome back to the Picks panel.
It's good to be back.
It is, Chip. It is a pleasure to be here, as always.
As always. And if you've been following along with the picks, hopefully you've been able to decipher which ones to go through. We are each hovering, or all three of us are hovering around 500, but the two of them, the reason that they're going to be giving you the explanations is that they have much better against the spread records. But you can see all the picks from the experts at CBSSports.com. Go to College Football Expert Picks, and you have Dennis Dodd, Bruce Feldman, Brian Fisher, Matt Hinton, Jerry, Tom, myself. We'll all be there, and you can decide which one of us you want to follow when making your own selections. So, without further ado, let's jump right in to the Week 9 slate, and we're going to begin with the Saturday night sort of primetime showdown. This is the game that has sort of gotten the game of the week tab from most people. It is Notre Dame traveling to Norman to face Oklahoma. Undefeated Irish, one loss Sooners, but certainly on the rise. Sooners are favored by 10.5. Tom, we're going to start with you. How are you looking at the Irish as they have to travel to face Stoops in Norman? Always a tough task.
Yeah, I think the dreams of the undefeated season will end this Saturday night for Notre Dame. That defense, it's legit. There's nothing's going to change that. And I think the front seven will have some success slowing Oklahoma down, particularly with Oklahoma's offensive line. I think we'll struggle with that Notre Dame defensive line. But Oklahoma is really the first team that's really going to be able to exploit the Notre Dame secondary that has showed weakness for the last few weeks. In fact, BYU was one completely Carson Coffin was wide open in the secondary this weekend, and Riley Nelson missed him. And if you get caught that, BYU wins at Notre Dame. And I see those kinds of problems persisting this week against Oklahoma. I think Landry Jones is going to do enough to where Oklahoma will be able to cover the spread. I don't think it's good. They're going to get the 40, but I think it's enough where Notre Dame's offense is still going to struggle scoring against this Oklahoma defense, and I see the Sooners getting to about 24 to 27, and I think that'll be enough to cover this spread.
Yeah, Oklahoma's defense doesn't have a lot of stars, but they've certainly been playing much better in recent weeks, and Landry Jones definitely looking more comfortable. Jerry, what was your pick on this game?
I had Oklahoma to cover the 10.5. I think they looked really good. You know, everybody looks good against Kansas, but Stoops' teams have traditionally been very good against the spread at home. Certain Tommy Tuberville, Texas Tech teams aside, and Notre Dame just, I don't think, has the sort of offense where they're going to be able to go on the road and really put up any serious points against a team as good as Oklahoma. I definitely lean towards the Sooners.
And I also am there as well. So we're all three on Oklahoma. And now Jerry in down in Dixie in SEC country, Florida and Georgia playing in the cocktail party. The dogs are 6.5 dogs. Georgia and Florida. This has been a series that, correct me if I'm wrong, it's been mostly the Gators recently, right?
Yeah, it's been that way basically ever since Steve Spurrier showed up in Gainesville, you know, about 20 years ago. It's been almost all Gators. You know, you get the occasional Georgia win. You remember the game a couple of years ago where the players all went onto the field and celebrated. But by and large, this has been Florida lock, stock, and barrel. Even last year, you know, Florida was kind of slogging through a 7-5 season. Georgia, you know, was on their way to the SEC East title and, you know, 10 wins. And it still was a close, down-to-the-wire kind of game. Georgia just does not perform very well in Jacksonville. They don't perform well against the Gators. And that's why I think you have to take Florida both to win straight up and with the points this week. Georgia has not looked good under Rick really against any top-line competition for several years. We saw it again against South Carolina. You know, heading into that game against the Gamecocks, I said, well, you know, this is where we find out, is Georgia the team they were expected to be preseason or the team that we've actually seen through the first few weeks, which doesn't really have a whole lot of strength along the defensive line that can get pushed around, where the running game kind of slows down if they're not popping off these huge runs. And we saw against South Carolina, they're not that team in the preseason. They're the one we've seen all season. I expect that team to show up again in Jacksonville, and I think the Gators roll.
Pop, pop. Tom, what's your call?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Jerry. It's going to be Florida covering, and there's just a simple math way of looking at this. It's that Florida beat South Carolina by about 30, and South Carolina beat Georgia by 28, so do the math. Florida is a much better team here, and I see them winning, and I think it could be in double-digit victory, too.
You're pulling out the transitive property on me? I'm not a fan of the transitive property always, but when it comes to this rivalry, it's certainly hard to argue, especially, like as Jerry said, just the way that the Dogs have played in Jacksonville. All right, we're moving on to the ineligible. We've got Ohio State undefeated still. They're going to face Penn State, and the Nittany Lions, from a wagering, almost said the G word there, from a wagering standpoint, are undefeated against the spread. It's like since the Penn State Virginia game in week two, Virginia has not covered once, and I think Penn State has covered every single game since then. Starting with you, Tom, do you see the Nittany Lions with another cover? They are 2.5-point favorites over Ohio State at home.
Yeah, I think they should be favorites too. I'm taking Penn State to win outright and obviously cover the spread as well. I just think that right now there is no team in the Big Ten playing better than Penn State. And when you think about everything that's beset this program over the offseason and before the year started with the NCAA sanctions, that's not something I thought I'd be saying this year. But Bill O'Brien has done a remarkable job at that program. And if you look at Matt McGloin playing quarterback last year compared to Matt McGloin playing quarterback this year, it's unbelievable the differences. And when I look at these two teams, I see Penn State as an offense that could score against that Ohio State defense that has struggled the last few weeks. But when it comes to defense, I think Penn State's got the better defense, and that's what I think is going to be the difference makers. I think Penn State will be able to stop Ohio State's offense more often than Ohio State will stop Penn State's.
Are there any concerns about Braxton Miller and his health?
He's been practicing. He returned to practice yesterday. They don't think there'll be any side effects of the concussion, but with concussions like that, it wasn't a concussion. You never really know, but they think he'll be fine.
Jerry, what was your read on this one?
Since I'm assuming Miller is going to play, I've got Ohio State to win the game outright, obviously cover with the plus 2.5. I just think Ohio State's the more talented team. I think up and down the roster, they've got the better athletes. They've got more depth. And they have a coach whose teams generally rise to the occasion in these big games. As we saw when they went to Michigan State and played a very good game up in East Lansing. The other thing is that Ted Roof, going back to his days at Auburn, one of his sort of kryptonite is being able to stop spread offenses like Ohio State's, being able to stop these dual threat quarterbacks like Braxton Miller. He's very good at stopping an attack like Iowa's, which we saw last week, which is very straightforward, hand the ball off and try to grind stuff out. Ted Roof is excellent at that. As we saw in that season-opening loss to Ohio, though, when it comes to the spread, he's just not as sure with his footing. And I think Ohio State's ready for this one. I think they've sort of underperformed the last few weeks. I think they're due for a good game. I think Penn State's played over their head, and they're due to maybe slip back a little bit. So I'm riding the Buckeyes.
Wait, are you saying a Greg Davis offense is making a defensive coordinator look good?
I am, in fact, saying that, yeah.
It's certainly not making the offense look good.
it's definitely not the first time that's been said. All right, Jerry, let's go to Alabama, who actually, when you heard about a week 9-10 battle of SEC West undefeateds, you might not have guessed, or maybe you did, before the season, that it would be Mississippi State at Alabama, not Alabama and LSU. And the Bulldogs, this is going to be the time to either really, I think, win or lose. This is a time for them to really sort of show their stuff, prove that they are legit. How do you see this one coming out? It's a big spread, but I want to get your read on the game.
Well, Alabama's going to win. They're not going to lose
right.
at home. Mississippi State is a very good team. They've got an outstanding defense. Jonathan Banks looks like he's going to be okay after a little bit of an injury scare last week. You know, Mississippi State is far, far and away, I think, the best defense that Alabama will have seen this season. Alabama's been really surprisingly dependent, I think, if you go and look at their stats at A.J. McCarron being able to find guys downfield. Amari Cooper's emerged as a real big play threat. They're not going to have that kind of success against Mississippi State and Banks and Nico Whitley that they had against Tennessee and Missouri and some of these other teams who they've just kind of gouged down the field. Alabama's going to have to grind out their drives against the Bulldogs. They're going to have to wear them down along the offensive line, wear down that Mississippi State front seven, and that's easier said than done. The Bulldogs have some players there, linebacker Cameron Lawrence, you know, Josh Boyd up front. So I kind of see this as being a very low-scoring, kind of grinded-out game, which is what Alabama and Mississippi State typically play. This series is rarely high-scoring, which is why you have to take the Bulldogs with the 24.5. I think Alabama wins the game, but I think it's somewhere in that 27-10, you know, maybe 31-14 kind of range.
Tom?
Yeah, I agree with Jerry. I think Alabama's going to win, and I do think Mississippi State's going to cover. Just besides all the reasons he's listed already, which are dead on, I'd go with another one, is Alabama's undefeated against the spread on the road, but it's yet to win against the spread at home this year. So because of that, I think it's pretty safe to stick with Mississippi State as well.
Good stat there. All right, Tom, we got Nebraska at home, Michigan coming to town. Nebraska is a 2.5-point favorite. This is a big game for the Legends Division race, of course, trying to compete to see who's going to play Wisconsin in that Big Ten championship game. How do you see this one playing out?
You know, this is a tough one to figure just because it seems like with these two teams, things change every week. But because of that, I'm rolling with Nebraska this week. I think that this game is going to come down to basically it's going to be Taylor Martinez versus Denard Robinson, and whoever can make the most big plays without, you know, making the bad plays, the turnovers. And I think Taylor Martinez just is a much better quarterback when he's at home than when he's on the road. So I'm just going with Nebraska because I think they're going to be able to pull it out. And when you got a spread by 2.5, which is so small, you just go with the team you think is going to win. So that's why I'm taking Nebraska.
Jerry?
I've got Michigan in this one, straight up and to cover. Basically, because it comes down to, of the four units on the field in this game, Michigan's defense is the best one. Jake Ryan's turning into a superstar. Greg Madison is doing a phenomenal job with the defensive play calling. And Taylor Martinez is going to have to make some plays with his arm. Michigan's front seven is just too good to let him run all over them. I think in the end, the Michigan defense, again, is just going to be the best of the four units on the field, and it's going to be just enough for the Wolverines to pull it out.
Tennessee hits the road. They're going to be heading to Columbia to face South Carolina. South Carolina, just a brutal stretch there. Didn't quite make it out, as we saw with the Florida game last week. But they come back. Competition gets a little bit easier, obviously, with Tennessee coming to town. South Carolina is a 14.5-point favorite, the way we picked it. Jerry, what's your read and pick on this game?
Well, 14.5 is a lot to give up, but I think you still have to take Gamecocks. Since Connor Shaw started starting for South Carolina in the middle of last season, they are undefeated against the spread at home. 6-0, 7-0, I think. They haven't lost yet against the number with Shaw at home. Tennessee, on the other hand, is now a whopping 2-10 the last two seasons against the number in SEC play. You know, those are trends you can't ignore. One of them going all the way in South Carolina's direction, the other going against Tennessee's. You know, it's a big number. Tennessee was able to kind of hang with Georgia for a while. But South Carolina at home is a much better team right now than Georgia at home even. So, you know, and Tennessee was even a little bit lucky to stay in the game with Georgia, giving up as many big plays as they did. I like Connor Shaw to bounce back in a big way this week. Tennessee's secondary is kind of a shambles. I think the Gamecocks, it's close. I think they're going to win by 17, maybe 21. I don't think it's a lock that they cover, but I do think they've got the edge here.
Tom?
I have South Carolina winning straight up. I took Tennessee to cover. I just, that 14.5 did seem like a lot to me. South Carolina's a much better team at home, but still, with the struggles they've had on offense the last 2 weeks, and Tennessee's defense is nowhere near as good as LSU and Florida's, obviously. But I do think Tyler Bray and the Volunteers' offense can do enough to at least make it more of a game than it than Vegas seems to think it will. So I think the Vols rally up for, you know, Derek Dooley, who's definitely feeling the heat these days, and get him a close loss to take the heat off a little bit.
Yeah, because nothing like an almost win to really quiet down those SEC fans chanting for Dooley to be fired, right?
Yeah, those Tennessee fans, they're looking for moral victories right now.
I got you. Kansas State, just sort of everyone's darling right now. Snyder Magic continues to roll, absolutely embarrassing West Virginia in Morgantown. Now they finally get to go back home, but they welcome a surging Texas Tech team. Don't doubt Tommy Tuberville in that big game, Dennis Dodd said on the Doddcast this week. Texas Tech is a 7.5-point underdog in Manhattan. Tom, what was your read on the Wildcats and the Red Raiders?
Well, I hope this game is exactly like last year's game was in Lubbock, because that game was awesome. But I'm going with Kansas State just because I'm not going against Bill Snyder until he fails me, and Bill Snyder has not failed me this year, really. So, I mean, Kansas State's 5-1-1 against the spread this year. They're 3-0-1 against Big 12 opponents. They're 3-1 at home. So I'm going with the Wildcats to cover, although I do think this Texas Tech team is very legit now, and I think they've proven that to us, especially on defense, because there were questions when they were the top-rated defense after a few weeks. There were questions about who they were doing it against, but I think they've shown that that defense is for real, and Tommy Tuberville's done it yet again. But I'm just going Colin Klein, the Heisman frontrunner, Kansas State at home in Manhattan with Bill Snyder. I can't go against that.
Jerry, you on the Snyder Magic train as well?
I'm not. I am on the Tommy Tuberville versus a top five team Magic train. I jumped tracks this past week. you know, Tuberville, I think his record is 8-3 against top five teams. It's something absolutely ridiculous. And I think this Kansas State team, again, is maybe just a little bit not quite as good as they looked last week against West Virginia. That Mountaineer team was just kind of shell-shocked in that game, I think. And they're not, honestly, as good under Snyder at home as they have been on the road, and not as good as a favorite as they are on the road. You know, you look at Tech and K-State side-by-side, they both went to Iowa State. Texas Tech was much more dominant in that game against the Cyclones than Kansas State ended up being, where Iowa State actually had the ball with a chance to win the game at the end. You know, so these are not teams with a wide disparity in terms of talent, in terms of even performance for the most part this season, the Oklahoma games accepted. You know, I think 7.5 is too wide a spread, and I think with Tommy Tuberville's track record, I think the Red Raiders both win against the spread and straight up.
Oh, wow. Is that your sort of your big upset pick this week?
Yes, I am the only one of the experts that went with Texas Tech straight up, which doesn't surprise me. But I think it's going to happen. I think Seth Bagy is on fire.
From the former Auburn head coach to the soon to be former Auburn head coach. My question to you, Jerry, is: in any chance that the Tigers? How much do you stock? Do you put into the Tigers team? Sort of being able to find one last sort of desperation, pull together? Because it seems to me that when there's a lame duck coach, even if, you know, all the buzz is that he's out of there, sometimes you will get at least one really good effort out of the team. And I was wondering that if at home against Texas A&M, you know, 13.5, that might be it. What was your read on this one?
I got to be honest, Chip, I'm not seeing it. you can't be more desperate this week if you're Auburn than you were the last 2 weeks, when it's already obvious that the season was going down the tubes and Gene Chizik's job was in trouble. And they went to Ole Miss and put together one half of football, fell apart in the second half and lost by, I think, 20 points or so. This last week, again, same sort of desperation situation, playing a Vanderbilt team where they've got basically better talent across the board, and they get out gained by, 100 to 150 yards. Really, it took a series of boneheaded decisions from James Franklin to even keep that game close. Like, it really should have been a 10-point Vanderbilt victory. So I don't think anything's going to change this week. I think Texas A&M is a better team than Vanderbilt, certainly, probably than Ole Miss, too. And the other thing is that Auburn's defense has been very lackluster against the spread. Clemson ate them up. Louisiana Monroe kind of came back at the end of that game and put a lot of yards and points on the board. Brian Van Gorder is a great coordinator, lots of experience in the pros, but I think an attack like Texas A&M's is not really what Auburn's defense is geared to stop. I think this one's a laugher. I think it's three touchdowns plus.
Oh, man, I was almost hoping, like you said, after just some uninspired performance, I think I'm actually hoping just for a little bit of life out of the Tigers. Tom, what was your read?
Yeah, you called Gene Chizik a lame duck coach, and I think that means he's a perfect fit for Auburn because this is a lame duck team right now, and I think Texas A&M's going to just destroy them.
Fair enough. All right, Tom, we got the Trojans, Southern California, traveling to go face Arizona and Rich Rodriguez and the Wildcats right now. Arizona at home is a 6.5-point dog. So do you see Southern California being able to cover those 6.5 points?
I hate doing this when I'm picking games because I'm picking USC to win straight up, but I'm picking Arizona to cover. Arizona is a team that, it's got a mediocre record, but it's played better than its record, especially against top quality opponents like USC. And I think at home, Arizona is going to be able to keep this game close enough to where they can cover a touchdown. They're getting 6.5 points at home. I think the Wildcats can cover that because their offense is good enough to score points on this USC defense. And I just don't know if their defense is going to be enough to stop USC enough for them to get the win. But I definitely think they can keep this one close and cover that spread, yes.
Isn't it when you were talking about I hate this because I'm picking one to cover and one to one straight out.
I generally try to live by the rule. If you're going to pick the underdog to cover, you should think unless it's a huge spread. If it's under 10 like this or within if you're going to take the underdog to cover, you should think they're going to win. That's the kind of philosophy I've always used. But in this game, I don't see them winning, but I definitely have enough faith in them to cover that spread.
Oh, I'm a total bet hedger. Absolutely. No, I know, especially in a game like this where Arizona and Southern Cal, they're not exactly out here kicking field goals. It's not like there's going to be some small scoring. These are increments of 7 for the most part.
Exactly.
All right, Jerry, what about you?
I'm in the exact same boat with Tom. I've got USC to pull out the win just because, again, they're the more talented team. And because Arizona just kind of struggles in the red zone so much, I wonder if, this game doesn't come down to one drive where the Wildcats have it inside the 20 with the, potential to win the game and just can't quite come through. But I do think Arizona does cover. Rich Rodriguez's offense, has a lot going for it right now, the way Matt Scott is playing, the way Kadeem Carey is playing. Going back to our Ted Roof discussion, Monty Kiffin's another defensive coordinator who hasn't done a great job in transitioning from the NFL to being able to stop spread offenses all the time at USC, and Arizona has a live one. So I do think the Wildcats keep it close, but if you're asking me to pick a winner, still going with USC.
Louisiana Tech broke back into the AP top 25 thanks to a 839-yard performance, hanging 70 points last week. And they are on the road against New Mexico State. We picked it for the expert picks at, 29.5. And so, Jerry, first, do you see a limit? Is there a spread that you think that Colby Cameron, Tony Franklin, and the entire staff, is there a spread they can't cover right now in conference play?
Well, depending on the conference opponent, Utah State and San Jose State, yeah, there's definitely some. But New Mexico State, probably not. The Aggies are one of the worst teams in the FBS, lost by, 17 points to Texas San Antonio at home a few weeks back, completely rolled over and died against Utah State last week. Now, I think anything under 40 you'd have to look at the Bulldogs there. You know, it is a little bit of a hike going from Ruston out to Las Cruces, but I think this Aggies team is just kind of waiting for the clock to run out on the season. Louisiana Tech, obviously, as they showed against Idaho, not really in the mood for a lot of mercy at this stage. They know they need to keep putting up the points and the big margins to stay in the top 25 and maybe have like that outside shot at sneaking into the BCS or something. I'm definitely with the Bulldogs. Like I said, anything under 40 and definitely anything under 35.
Tom?
Yeah, I'm going Louisiana Tech, and this is going to be a bloodbath. New Mexico State's just not a very good team, and Louisiana Tech is an offense that has proven over and over again that it can put up a lot of points really quick.
Washington State hitting the road to head down to the farm and face number 19, Stanford. The Cardinal are 21.5-point favorites. Tom, this was a tough game for me to pick. What was your read here? Mostly tough because Stanford has been inconsistent at sort of their ability to put up points.
Yeah, I was leaning towards Washington State at first, but I'm taking Stanford both to cover and win. So I worry about Stanford's passing offense, but against this Washington State defense, I really don't think Stanford's going to have to throw all that off and to put points up on the board. I see Stephen Taylor having a pretty big day against this, and Washington State's offense, while it's shown flashes of that Mike Leachness to it at points this year, it's not consistent enough to where I see it being able to do a whole lot against this Stanford defense. And I think the Cardinals are going to control the game as far as time of possession for the most part with the ground attack. And I think they're going to win this one and cover. Yeah.
Jerry?
I'll agree with you, Chip. I think this is a tough one to gauge, really, because it is a very large spread for a Stanford team that's not explosive, certainly, offensively. But Mike Leach's offense has just looked so lost this season. I don't think you can expect them to go on the road against the Stanford defense and put up any more than 3 to 7 points. So, you know, basically you're asking, can Stanford get to 30 against that Washington State offense? I think over the course of four quarters, I think they can get it done. It's close for me, but I do think Stanford can pull out the cover, win something in the neighborhood of 28-3, 31-7, those kinds of things.
You know, I promoted this game on College Football 360 earlier this week as one, you know, Rutgers, don't sleep on Kent State, you know, obviously using Cincinnati and Toledo as a lesson. The MAC is very good, Kent State being one of the four teams that are bowl eligible from that conference. But the more I keep breaking down this game, the stronger I've been feeling about Rutgers. But Jerry, want to get your opinion first. Do you see Rutgers being able to cover 13.5 at home for homecoming?
You know, I don't. I think Kent State is a really good, maybe somewhat underrated team. I think, you know, their season to date, they've got some big road wins already under their belt, went up to Buffalo and blew the Bulls out, went to Army, which is not an easy place to play, as Boston College found out, blew Army out. You know, so they've been playing very well on the road. They are riding, I think, a six-game against the spread winning streak to match Rutgers' six-game against the spread winning streak. Neither one of these teams has lost a game against the spread since week two. So it's definitely strength against strength. It's a little bit hard to call because Rutgers' defense is definitely elite. Kasim Green, we've talked about this, is playing at an All-American level. You know, and Kent State isn't really offensively explosive, with the exception of Dre Archer, who obviously is an incredible player, has the ability to break one at any time. But breaking one is a lot more difficult against Rutgers than it is some of the MAC opposition he's been feasting on. So there's definitely the danger that Rutgers ends up winning this, you know, by like a 24-6 kind of score. But just the way Kent State's been playing and as good as they've looked on the road, I think they can keep this within two touchdowns. I think this ends up being a one-score, maybe 10-point game, and Kent State gets the cover.
Tom?
I'm not taking Kent State. I agree with Jerry. Kent State is a good team, and I think they're definitely going to be in the running for a MAC title this year. But it's just that Rutgers defense, I'm not sure Kent State will be able to do enough to keep up with a Rutgers offense. It's not great, but it doesn't have to be with that defense. So I'm taking Rutgers minus the 13.5. But I do think it's going to be more of a 27-10 type of game.
Yeah, Kent State Golden Flash is 10-2 in their last 12 games dating back to last season. Pretty impressive. All right, moving on, we got Oregon State. Sean Mannion is back in the fold. You know, from a season-ending injury to all of a sudden possibly available just weeks later, the Beavers are traveling to face Washington, and the Huskies are 4.5-point underdogs. They are playing their games, of course, right there in the home of the Seattle Seahawks, as they are getting all of their stadium and facilities rebuilt into a spaceship. Tom, how do you see this game playing out? Do you see the Beavers winning, first of all, and if so, covering 4.5?
Yeah, this is going back to the USC-Arizona rule I was given earlier. I don't think Washington's going to win this game outright, so the spread that small, I'm taking Oregon State to win and cover. The few times I've seen Washington this year, even in that win against Stanford, I just really have not been very impressed. And I thought that was a program this year that Keith Price would be taking that next step up, but it just hasn't done it. Meanwhile, Oregon State is a team where they keep winning. And even while you're watching, I mean, there's good players on that team. But while you're watching that team play, you can't figure out what it is about them that makes them so good. It's kind of just a cohesive unit on both sides of the ball. And with Mannion coming back, I think the offense gets a boost, and I think they're going to be able to go up to Seattle and beat Washington.
Yeah, Mike Riley said during a radio appearance or something earlier this week, I saw it written down, but they asked him, you know, were you expecting your defense to be that good? And he even said, he was like, no, you know, this, even the head coach has been pleasantly surprised by the way his team has come together. Jerry, what's your pick in this game?
I've actually got Washington pulling the upset straight up and obviously winning against the spread with 4.5. Oregon State didn't really look very good. I definitely agree with Tom that when you watch them, it's hard to pinpoint exactly why they're winning. The reason they beat Utah was because Utah turned the ball over all over the place. It didn't really have a lot to do with what Oregon State was doing at all. You know, just the Utes made some really silly mistakes. And you know, this Mannion thing, you want to say it's a good thing. Okay, well, now they're getting their starting quarterback back. But after those 2 weeks off, haven't been able to practice a whole lot, had freaking surgery 2 weeks ago, you know, I don't know if Mannion's really going to be able to come back and immediately be the kind of quarterback we saw early in the season. I think Oregon State's maybe due. You know, they're another team that I think is really maybe been playing over their heads just a little bit, and I think it's in Utah, we maybe saw the start of that. It didn't show up on the scoreboard, but I do think it does in Seattle. That's not going to be an easy place to play at all. The Huskies already showed against Stanford, you know, that they can play very well as an underdog up at CenturyLink. So I actually like the Huskies.
All right, we are venturing into the space-time continuum right now, depending on when you are listening to this. If it is Saturday morning, then perhaps this has already been decided. But if this is Friday afternoon, there's still time, because Cincinnati traveling to the Papa John's Stadium to face Louisville in the Keganales. And the Louisville Cardinals, undefeated. Cincinnati no longer undefeated after that loss at Toledo, but both teams have yet to lose in Big East play. Certainly Big East title implications. Louisville is a 4.5-point favorite. Jerry, you first. What was your pick on this game?
I went against Tom's advice. I took Louisville to win the game, but Cincinnati to cover the 4.5. I think this is just a game I see coming down to the wire. I think Louisville at home, you have to kind of give them a little bit of an edge going straight up. But I really like Cincinnati. You know, the reason that they lost against Toledo last week, you know, was because they're playing Louisville this week. They were looking past the Rockets. If you're Cincinnati, how are you going to get fired up to go to Toledo and play when you've got the Keganales coming up the week after? You know, I think Munchie Legault obviously is brimming with confidence after saying he was straight up better than Teddy Bridgewater. You know, and Charlie Strong just hasn't always had his team ready to go out and play their best game as a favorite at home. So I think there's a lot of reasons to look at Cincinnati in this game. Ultimately, like I said, I think it's kind of a coin flip game straight up, and you have to take Louisville under that scenario. But I do have Cincinnati covering the 4.5.
Yeah, the Louisville's offense does not, You know, they haven't covered a lot of spreads this year. I blame some of that on sort of weather and weird conditions. But they run the ball a lot. You know, they only take shots when they need to. It's not a very spread covering friendly offense. You know, it's like a lot of times they'll just get the lead and try and sit on it. Often, like in the North Carolina game, almost to their disadvantage. Tom, what was your read here?
Yeah, it's hard to make a call in a game like this, a rivalry game like this. What it came down to for me is very much like the rule that Jerry was ignoring. I think Louisville's going to win, or at least that's just what I'm guessing. It's hard to figure out. In Big East plus rivalry, it's hard to really know. But I think Louisville's going to win, and I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, but I think it's going to be a game where Louisville wins on a touchdown late, something of that nature. So I'm going with the Cardinals to win at home and cover the spread.
More rivalry action. Number 23, Ohio, Frank Solich's undefeated squad. Got Tyler Tettleton getting stiffed when they cut the Davey O'Brien list to 15. They are traveling to face Miami of Ohio, and Ohio is just a 7.5-point favorite. Tom, what was your lead? What was your pick here?
Side note about the Davey O'Brien. Don't worry, Chip. Denard Robinson's still alive for the award.
What is he, 100? He's like 100th in passing efficiency or something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah. But he can still win the best quarterback in the nation award.
Unbelievable.
But as far as this game's concerned, I'm going with my Ohio to win, but I see Miami covering just because Ohio's been winning, but Ohio hasn't been blowing anybody out. They're a team that kind of just plays to the score and keeps scores close, even while, you know, they could technically be dominating a game. If you're watching it, it looks like they're dominating the game, but the score is a lot closer than that. So because of that, I'm going with Ohio to win, but I'm taking Miami to cover in a very important MAC game, and Frank Solich is going to be a hot coaching commodity at the end of the year, but I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah, and don't forget, Miami does have Zach Dysart right there, who ran for 108 yards and threw for 516 in a 7-point win over Akron. So you know at least they've got the firepower to get a backdoor cover with a 7.5-point spread. Jerry, what's your read here?
Well, it's really tough to know about Ohio because you can say they're due one of two ways. You can look at this string of very close victories that they've had over, frankly, much lesser MAC competition and say, oh, well, they're due to actually slip all the way up and lose one. Or you can look at it the way I'm looking at it, which is simply Ohio is too good a team to continue, battling through these slogs against these kinds of teams. And Miami of Ohio is one of those teams. The good teams that they have faced, Ohio State, Boise State, Cincinnati a couple of weeks ago, those teams have all blown Miami out of the water. Ohio's not in that class, but I think they're due to play more like the team we saw beat Penn State in week one rather than the sort of mediocre outfit we've seen the last couple of weeks. So I have actually got them both winning straight up, avoiding the upset and covering the spread.
Back into the space-time continuum, we've got Clemson hitting the road to face Wake Forest. Clemson, horrible record in these Thursday night nationally televised games. Wake Forest even beat Clemson in this exact same scenario back in 2008. The Demon Deacons might get Michael Campanaro back, wide receiver that was leading the ACC before he broke his hand. And the Demon Deacons are 13.5-point dogs. Jerry, you first. What was your pick here?
This is another kind of tricky one because, as you point out, it's a Thursday night game. Wake Forest is a home underdog. Jim Grove has been very good in these kinds of situations. But Campanaro or no Campanaro, Clemson is by far the more talented team. And they've been outstanding against the spread, against the ACC this year. They're undefeated. Wake has shown sort of glimpses. They beat North Carolina at home. Went on the road and beat Virginia last week, covered against Maryland. But, you know, they've also lost to Duke at home. They got completely annihilated by Florida State. I just don't see the Demon Deacons being the kind of team that can stay with Clemson for four quarters. Two quarters, yes. Three quarters, yes. But in the end, I think Clemson just has too much firepower. They win this game by 3 touchdowns.
Tom?
Yeah, the Thursday night factor does scare me a bit as well, but I'm going with Clemson. It's just to add on to what Jerry said. Not only is Clemson 4-0 against the spread against ACC opponents, but it's in its three games outside Death Valley this year, it's 3-0 against the spread in those games as well. And Wake Forest is 1-2 at home. And like Jerry said, I don't think the Demon Deacons have near enough talent to really keep up with the Tigers. So while the Thursday night short week upset type of factor scares me a bit, I'm still rolling with Clemson.
So even if Dabo Swinney said on the ACC teleconference on Wednesday morning that Bashaud Breeland would not make the trip to Winston-Salem with an abdominal injury, leaving Clemson with both backup cornerbacks, you're still taking the Tigers?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just kidding. All right, we got Boise State. They are going to be traveling to face Wyoming. Wyoming does not have a head coach on the sideline due to the suspension. Tom, do you like the Broncos to cover 16.5 on the road?
Woo! I'm going with Boise State in what should be a route without Dave Christensen there, who is quickly became probably my favorite head coach in all of college football for that tirade of Troy Calhoun. I mean, calling him howdy doody, flyboy, some other words I can't say, and then finishing it with the Ric Flair woo is just the stuff of legend, and it's a shame he won't be there on Saturday to see his team get destroyed by Boise State.
Jerry?
I actually think this is kind of a tricky game to call. I have not been very good in picking Boise games ever since I started at CBS. And it continued last week. I picked them to cover against UNLV, and it didn't happen. They gave up a backdoor cover to the Rebels. And Wyoming's very good as an underdog. At the same time, I think Christensen leaving, is going to play some havoc. And the Cowboys did not look good at all last week, went to Fresno and got destroyed. So I wonder if there's a little bit of a kind of quit on the season type thing going on there. And Boise, after starting off slowly, has played much better despite not covering against UNLV last week. Last time we saw them on the road, they were down in Southern Miss and just annihilating the Golden Eagles. So, I think you've got to go with Boise here, but it won't surprise me necessarily if the Cowboys cover.
The newly bowl eligible Duke Blue Devils. Nothing's better than your first bowl eligibility in 18 years, like hitting the road to face Florida State and Doak Campbell Stadium. So it'll be a nice a big jump from the competition that Duke has seen to now Florida State, and of course they face Clemson next week after that. In this game, Florida State is a 27.5 point favorite at home. Jerry, you first. How do you see this one playing out?
Going it alone. I'm the only expert to take Florida State to cover this game. I think Florida State has played a couple of these home games against lesser ACC opposition. One was against Wake Forest earlier in the season. Another one was against Boston College. And both of those games were huge blowouts in the Seminoles' favor. And, for all of Duke's success, maybe I'm just the proverbial hater, but I still think they're a little bit closer in terms of competition to a Wake Forest or a Boston College than they are to a Clemson. So I like the Seminoles to just completely roll in this one. I think Duke's wins, ironically, will probably make sure that Florida State gives the Devils their full attention. I think maybe they're a little bit overvalued in this situation in terms of their talent level. So I'm going with the Seminoles.
Tom, your pick?
I for the most part, agree with everything Jerry just said. And logically, I wanted to take Florida State to win and cover the spread. But just, emotionally, going with the story, I'm taking Duke to cover. I don't think they have any chance at all of winning. But just, I'm caught up in the excitement of Duke going bowling, so I think they're going to lose by less than 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you're not predicting him to win. It's real easy to get on the bandwagon and pick him to not lose by 4 touchdowns.
And I think that's a huge step for the Duke football program.
Yeah, exactly. All right, real quickly, from both of you, do you see, let's answer at the same time, do you see Oregon covering 46.5? 3-2-1
No.
Yeah. Is that just too much?
I just think
I
it's
don't
a
know.
Well, you know what? A part of me is worried because with the BCS continually knocking Oregon down, I'm worried that Chip Kelly's going to be like, oh, yeah, and he's going to want to win a game by 70. But at the same time, Chip's already shown this year. He likes to bring in his backups in the second half when games are pretty much decided at halftime. And when that happens, Oregon has a hard time covering 47-point spreads.
Jerry, what was your reasoning?
Yeah, this is the sort of game Oregon hasn't been covering this season. But then again, that was the exact same argument we made about USC last week, and USC covered. This is a no-win situation. Either you're banking on Oregon to do something they haven't done all season, or you're betting on Colorado, which is Colorado.
If you're betting on Colorado, then the first thing you should do is call, like, you know, some sort of counselor, maybe seek some help.
A gambling hotline?
Yeah.
So, you know, if there was one game on the entire slate, I would say, you know, can I just pass on this one? It would be this one. But since, you know, we're obligated to make the pick, I went with Colorado. I think Chip Kelly is going to have some mercy.
Go Buffs.
Oh, man. Lots of Buff love around here. Well, that wraps up another edition of the CBSSports.com College Football Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. My thanks to Jerry Hinnan and Tom Fornelli for all of their picks. Best of luck to you. We hope that they benefit you in your many selections of the weekend. Remember to go to CBSSports.com and check out all the expert picks from the entire gang. Be sure to tell us what you think and shoot us an email to podcast@CBSinteractive.com. Thanks so much for listening.